www.voiceofmanywaters.org. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is Chris Landau. And Chris is a South African gentleman. He's a geologist. He's worked on oil rigs. And I wanted you to hear his impression of what's going on down in the Gulf. Because obviously, we're not getting the full story. There are so many things that are going on that just don't make sense. So Chris certainly has a background in oil exploration and oil rigs, and so I'm going to let him talk to you about his impression of what's really going on down there, because I think this is a major event. It's going to have a major impact on our society. Chris, thanks very much for being with us again.
Good morning, Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Well, you just pick up the story and tell our listeners just a little bit about your background, and then, of course, your impression of what's going on down in the Gulf of Mexico there.
Well, a little bit about my background. I came to the country in 2003 with my wife and three daughters. I worked on oil and gas rigs in between 2005 and 2007. I worked in about 50 of these high-pressure oil and gas wells, and I find it very strange what is happening down in the Gulf at the moment. When we worked on these wells, we would be the geologists on site, and we would monitor the oil and gas as it was stopped in the well, prevented from coming out the well, because you had to keep the oil and gas out of the well, otherwise a blowout would occur. And what we found is there wasn't just one horizon of gas. There were many horizons of gas and oil. In wells this deep, there would be up to 30 to 50 horizons of oil and gas, some of them about 6 inches thick, some 20 feet thick. Some with oil, some only with gas, some with gas and water. And what we did was we, as they drilled down, they would put in what was called drilling mud. And the drilling mud would keep the bit cool. It would crush the, bring the crushed samples of rock to the surface. It would also keep the oil and gas out of the formation, and there was out in the formation, and there was a fine balance between how much drilling mud weight you put into the well, how much you weighted up that drilling mud with barium sulfate, and how much you didn't weight it up. If you put in too much drilling mud, too much barium sulfate into the drilling mud, the the density of the mud increased too much till eventually it blew out the formation. It just went back into the formation. It was denser than the sandstone, limestone, calcium carbonate, and dolomite. So you lost your drilling mud, as they did in this well when the BP chief engineer described the events to the MMS on the 28th of May. They kept on losing the drilling mud down the hole. So what was happening is they were blowing out the formation while they were drilling. In other words, they were cracking the rock because they'd raised the drilling mud weight too much. And so that is a situation when you really need to plug and abandon the well because you don't have any control. You keep control by keeping the oil and gas out while you're drilling. So for me, they'd lost the well while they were drilling and they needed to fill in the whole well with concrete before they went on further. I'll stop there, Stan.
All right, fine. Well, of course, now, were these super deep wells that you were working on, or is this one that they drilled down there in the Gulf much deeper than most of those you worked on?
Well, I worked on land, so my wells were high-pressure wells here, and they went down to about 12,000 feet. So they were a little shallower than that if you ignore the seawater. And it's really, there's a bit of confusion in the sense that it's high-pressure wells you're dealing with, not you know, great depth wells. You can have high pressure wells, you know, very shallow wells. Depends on how much oil and gas pressure you have down there and where the geological formations are stressed as well or under great pressure. But it also depends to a great degree how much oil and gas you have there and how quickly it's being created.
Well, apparently this is a much deeper well than at least there have only been a few of them drilled in water that is very deep. Apparently the Russians have done a fair amount of deep drilling, haven't they?
Well, there are many deep wells around the world. I know the Russians have gone down to 40,000 feet in their experimental wells to see what was happening, but they have done a lot of deep well drilling, and of course in the Gulf they've taken some of the wells down, which National Geographic published about 2 years ago, down to 30,000 feet. So this wasn't particularly deep as far as wells are concerned. It was just a case of bad casing, bad cement work by Halliburton, and sloppy workmanship from beginning to end. And what's worse is it just continues with the ongoing directional wells, which aren't going to seal anything. I always have the analogy where if you've got 50 holes in a car tire and they're large holes and you're trying to seal it with compressed air, you're never going to seal that tire. And we've got a blown out formation, not a blown out well. We've got a wrecked, shattered rock formation. It's like a bucket with many, many holes in it, and you're trying to stop the cement and drilling mud going out these holes, but they're just too many. So you really need to start to, you know, write this well off and drill separate wells around the well, not into the existing well, to relieve the oil and gas pressure at that zone.
And I think this is an important point, and we've talked to Chris before, and his suggestion is, I mean, you've got this tremendously high-pressure oil and gas there, and the way that you decompress it would be not to try to drill into the old oil. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cedarstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cedarstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way, the only way they know how.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning is Chris Landau. And what Chris is really suggesting, having worked on oil rigs, is you've got to decompress this oil field, and you do that by putting in a number of parallel wells, not trying to drill into the oil shaft, because what happens if this doesn't work? And then, of course, he'd suggested maybe is drilling as many as 18 parallel wells down in here, decompressing the field. That would take the pressure off, and you could begin to get this oil under control. Now, one of the things, remember initially, you look back almost over 2 months, why the first thing they started to do was they called it a top kill. At least this is my understanding, and Chris, you go ahead and correct me if I'm wrong, but they wanted to, of course, they had this large sort of dome-like affair that they were going to lower down over the top of the well contain the oil that was coming up. But instead of having a very large exit from that, pipes going up to the surface, so the oil and methane could get up to the surface, they had a very, very small outlet that, of course, resulted in the freezing of the methane crystals. And then they could say, oh, see, it's not working, we can't do this. But it would be logical to me, and just as a layman, that there would be this large dome that they would sit down over the top of the of this pipe. And then, of course, the oil would come up into that, and then there'd be pipes from that going up to the surface, a large pipe, and then you wouldn't have the contamination. Now, would that have worked if they'd done it logically? And what was wrong with what they did?
Well, you've summed it up perfectly there. What they did was make the opening too narrow so that the crystals could, the methane crystals and any other organic thick compounds, viscous compounds, could clog up the small opening. They may also have had a slightly wider opening going out from the narrow opening. I'm not too sure on that, but basically the hole was too small and they had to just clogged up. So what they needed to do was put down a 10 to, not 10, probably about 12 to 15 foot pipe straight over the blowout preventer and make that flexible if need be and take that pipe all the way to the surface and just get the oil and gas to float to the surface and in that well, unpressurized, in that casing, and just bring it to the surface.
And then they could control it rather than have it just go out all over the Gulf. Now, why wouldn't they do something logical like that?
Well, I guess they didn't have any of these large 12 to 15-foot pipes, and they were trying to do everything quickly and in a hurry and didn't give the whole thing any thought. But the way the oil and gas has kept on coming up over the last 2 months, it's worn away the formation between the casing and the well, and we know that it was blown out because of the oil and the drilling mud that they poured down the well. The BP chief engineer described how he had to redesign the casing on the hearing on the 28th of May and put down a further two layers of casing, and those, none of them worked. The seal was just not good enough between the cement and the casing and the well. So they've lost everything there. The well is completely destroyed. There's no point in trying to drill directional wells into the existing well. They just won't work. You cannot seal a car tire with 50 holes into it by just pumping more compressed air in. The pressure is the same in the beginning, the middle, the end of the well. The pressure is the same as in a car tire. It doesn't help you drilling directional wells down to the bottom, because what's going to happen is your wells, if they, as soon as they enter the existing well, all the drilling mud in those new wells is just going to be sucked into the empty well with high pressure oil and gas rushing past, and all the new cement is just going to, drilling mud is just going to be lost in the well, and so you're going to have two further blowouts. On top of that, you're going to wreck the formation some more and make it more cracked and more porous, and you're just going to lose control of this whole situation to a greater degree. So it needs to get away from the existing well and do new wells, not into the existing well, straight down and relieve the gas and oil pressure.
All right. Well, now, Sydney, we hear all sorts of things about what's going on down there, and the fact that apparently until very recently, why they haven't been doing a very good job of handling the mass amount of oil that's been pouring into the area there, and other countries had offered to help, and we wouldn't let them, and people were there with equipment that would have filtered, large amounts of water and taken the oil out, but since there'd be a little bit of oil in the water that was being put down in the Gulf, the Environmental Protection Agency said no, would rather have massive contamination than having a little bit of oil in the water that's being put back after being filtered. Now apparently they have something there called the Whale that's apparently able to filter large amounts of water. What's this all about? Would this be at least helping to contain the contamination down there?
Well, I think it's one extra ship amongst all the ships that they do have. They should have brought in skimmers a long time ago. There should have been fleets of skimmers around to collect the oil in a professional capacity. It just shows again how BP and the rest of the oil industry world is unprepared for this sort of disaster. They just haven't any planning, and it's just unbelievable that they can continue in a business with no plan.
Well, it seems incredible that a company as large as British Petroleum would take this risk, because they've already put up $20 billion, and, I mean, we're talking about maybe $40 or $60 billion before this is over. How a major company could do something so stupid unintentionally is difficult to evaluate. And certainly, what about the fact that they talk about these booms? These are these sort of inflated tubes, like long sausages they lay out. Is this supposed to contain the spread of oil? What's this all about?
The booms that you have along the shore are supposed to contain the oil and keep it off, as oil is supposed to float on water, but they've mixed it with dispersant so it no longer floats. It becomes miscible and dissolved in the water, and so a lot of the oil is actually making it underneath the booms onto the shore, and of course you have wind and wave action in the water, and the oil just goes straight over the boom. So it's a sort of a temporary method to sort of semi-solve the situation. But, of course, with wind and wave action, that's just not going to work. They'd work on a placid lake where there was no wind and no water, but that's not a real-life situation.
Well, now, what about this dispersant that they're using? Certainly, we hear this is very, very toxic. It could be toxic as far as the aquatic life is concerned, and there are things that are far less toxic than this, but they just won't use them. What this is all about, and is it dispersions an effective means of controlling this massive oil spill?
Well, the dispersants are really two sorts of things. They're a detergent, like a washing powder, and an ethyl alcohol based, a couple of them, 2 to 3 ethyl alcohols in the core exit dispersants that they're using. Those chemicals are toxic to the extent of about 2 to 2.5 grams per kilogram, cause 50% of a rat population in the original test that they did it on to die. So they're pretty toxic in themselves. But the what is worse is actually the oil, and within the oil is a compound called benzene, and that's been increasing at levels as published by the EPA. And if one goes to the EPA website, you will see that benzene has now reached 72 parts per billion, 1,000 parts per billion, or the same as 1 part per million, 1,000 parts per billion, or 1 part per million is the same thing that is that causes leukemia on an ongoing basis, leukemia and cancer. So they're about 1/15th of the way to that sort of concentration. So if you just check out the EPA website, you'll find the levels where they monitor the... They've got a bus which drives around, and they've got fixed stations, and they're measuring benzene, xylene, toluene. But benzene is the worst, as I said, at 1 part per million. So that's
now that is, of course, onshore. They're checking this onshore, then.
Correct. And they're not giving us any information of boats out on the waters. Also giving us what's going on there. And the other chemicals that I'd like people to look out for is hydrogen sulfide, and that's at about 2 parts per million, and at 15 parts per million, they recommend that you don't spend more than 10 minutes in that concentration. So again, we're about a tenth of the way there, but of course it's only going to kill you at about 400 parts per million. That's when it's going to start to cause death. At 1,000 parts per million, hydrogen sulfide is one breath is instant death.
Well, now, do you think that there's any way that they get these levels of benzene and hydrogen sulfide? And I think there's methylene chloride, methyl chloride, methylene chloride. Is there any way that we get those levels high enough on shore that they would really be a danger to the people there?
Well, at the moment, as I said, lose control of how they're burning the oil and burning the gas as it comes out, those levels will increase, and it depends on whether they're getting oil, all the oil and gas at the site that they're claiming to do. If the formation is fractured and the gas and oil is, a lot of it is coming out in many regions far away from that well, then they won't be getting all of it. Of course, with methyl chloride or chloromethane, that's another gas I wrote about last night, and my articles are there on Op-Ed News. And that's going to also cause lung and stomach problems, and it's also been tested on animals to be a carcinogen. So methyl chloride will be produced in vast quantities by the action of salt water on methane to make methyl chloride under the Wirth synthesis. So that's going to be a big problem, because methyl chloride is volatile, flammable, dissolvable in water, it's miscible, dissolvable in oil, it's lightweight, it'll float up to the upper atmosphere. Methyl chloride is one of the compounds in refrigerants that attacks the ozone layer. It's also a nightmare gas waiting to hit everybody. And it's very volatile, as I said, flammable, and is carcinogenic. So look out for methyl chloride, hydrogen sulfide, benzene, cyclohexane, and
so basically, you know, I've seen pictures of the people out there working on the oil rigs that are drilling down, trying to come up with the parallel, wells and trying to hit the original well. They're not wearing any sort of protection. Wouldn't you think that right there, very close to the blown off well, that there'd be much higher levels of the benzene and the hydrogen sulfide and the other things that would really make it very dangerous for the people immediately adjacent there? Shouldn't they be wearing some sort of protective clothing, a protective something to protect their lungs?
Yes, they should be, and I'm amazed if I haven't really been looking at TV on the whole situation, but I would imagine that they should be wearing chemical gas masks, and those people that aren't are going to be exposed to these chemicals over a longer period of time and stand a good chance of becoming sick or getting cancer if they're exposed to higher levels over a long period of time. And it is crazy not to wear gas masks.
No, it's sort of like at the when the Twin Towers came down, and the workers were told there's nothing to worry about. You just go ahead and work there. And, of course, thousands of them have had permanent damage to their lungs. A sort of significant number of them have died. And I just hope that this does not happen there in the Gulf. Well, what about now we hear about the Russians put down a number of these wells and caught fire, and they actually had to use nuclear tactical weapons to actually to seal them off. And we even hear rumors about the fact that nuclear scientists had been down looking at the wells there. Is this all hype, or is there really some consideration, do you think, of the possibility of using a small nuclear weapon just to fuse everything shut down below there?
Well, I don't believe that a nuclear weapon would work. When you set off a bomb, all you do is fracture and break everything. You don't seal anything. You might create a small few inches of fused glass if you test the atomic bomb on desert sands. But down below, you don't have glass. It's alternating layers of sandstone, mudstone, limestone. You're just not going to fuse anything. You're just going to fracture things, and you're just going to create bigger fractures and let out more oil and gas. As I always said, if you put a bomb behind the Hoover Dam because it had a few cracks in the wall, and you try to fuse the concrete with that, all you'll do is break it open and let out more oil and gas.
We'll be back in just a moment. If you have a question, 877-254-7524. Here, the American Freedom Network.
Eleven years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon, we were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you and is just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
The Brush Housing Authority in Brush reminds listeners to spend more time with an elderly member of our community. What better way to show you care than to remember a family member, friend, or neighbor? Checking on their welfare, making a phone call, or a simple visit can make all the difference in the quality of their life. This message was courtesy of the folks who care at Brush Housing Authority, who say our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's the Brush Housing Authority. For more information on programs, call 970-482-5046. 970-482-5046.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest this morning, Chris Landau. If you have a question, our number is 877-254-7524, 877-254-7524. And, Chris, you want to get your website out so people could get your essays. I know you've written extensively on this.
Yes, my website is just right under Op-Ed News, so that's O-P-E-D News, and then you can just put in Chris Landau, that's C-H-R-I-S Islandau. You'll find about 25 articles there that I write every few days on what's actually happening and how to solve the situation. Yeah, it's very easy to get hold of Op-Ed News, O-P-E-D News, and then Chris Lando, C-H-R-I-S-L-A-N-D-A-U, or you can write to me at chrislando@yahoo.com. That's C-H-R-I-S-L-A-N-D-A-U@yahoo.com.
Well, of course, this is certainly having a profound impact on the fishing industry down there, the shrimping, the clamming, the oysters, seeing the seafood. A lot of our seafood comes from down in that area. It's been very rich, and certainly this is having a terrible effect on the tourist industry. Tremendous financial impact. And certainly, then we hear about the marshes and how, of course, the oil is getting into the marshes. But this has happened in other blowouts. It was one, I think, in 1979 over along the Mexican shore. And they simply sprayed bacteria into that, and bacteria ate up the oil. And before long, why everything was all right. I mean, this ran, I don't know, for many, many months, and eventually it just ran out of oil, and the storm certainly buried the oil on the beaches. What's the background? Where is this all going to end up? What happened over there in Mexico? Does that apply to what's going on today?
I believe that spill was a very big one. They had about 50 million barrels of oil that blew out from that well. And, yes, I believe the hurricanes actually did help that one. And they were struggling for many months to try and clean up the oil, and the hurricanes came in and took a lot of the oil back out to sea, and the wave actions mixed it all up, and a lot of it was buried underneath more sand, and after a couple of years, people forgot about it. So that was a very, very big well, and the gas, the anaerobic bacteria, are there all the time, and they just multiply on their own when a lot of oil is available for them to eat. So, I'm hoping that there'll be much more in the line of bacteria, but this one's going on and on, and if it is old oil, if it is new oil as opposed to old oil, it's going to last forever. So we better hope that it's old oil that they've accessed and not new oil, because then it'll just keep regenerating itself, and it's never going to stop. And the only way to relieve it is by drilling new wells to relieve the pressure in that region.
All right. Well, now, what is your impression of what's going on down there? I mean, it looks like we've got the most inept people in the world in charge, and of course, because of the ineptitude, it's going to cost British Petroleum, a massive amount of money. In fact, there's a serious question whether British Petroleum can survive this. What's your impression as far as the impact on the economy down there along the coast, the Gulf Coast, about the health of the people, and what are your general themes, as far as this disaster? Is it as bad as we're told? Is it worse than we're being told? Are we being information being withheld from us? You pick up the story.
I feel it's worse than what we're being told, because they're not letting us see what's happening. They're also not taking any advice, and I think everybody's saying that BP is very bad and they're getting all the flack, but I think people like Transocean and Anadarko and Mitsui are all shareholders in this, and Halliburton should all get some of the flack as well. And nobody's being allowed into the area. No submersible subs are going into the area to check on what's really happening. And if they are, that news is just not getting out. The videos are not getting out. So I think we're all being kept in the dark about what's really happening. And people really don't want to touch this because it's such a huge mess. It's an ongoing environmental disaster, and nobody's wants to have that problem. We want to keep BP continually fiddling around on it and messing up, and they can continue to get the flack, and maybe they can continue to get money out of BP. But for the livelihood of the people, for the toxicity that's going to be both in land, water, and air, and for the cancer compounds that are going to be generated for generations to come, it is not a great idea. It's a disaster, and it does seem to be the most inept bunch of people on this earth.
Well, now, what about, say, the fish, the aquatic animals there? Certainly, will the oil and or the dispersant actually kill them or destroy the value of their as far as food products?
Yeah, I would imagine that it would. If they're not allowed to fish in that area anymore, people will eventually try and get around those bans and just to try and save their livelihood, and they'll sneak the fish onto the market and the crabs, etc. So that's going to get out to the public as well, and that's not going to be good for anybody. It's bad. People have lost their livelihoods and are going to continue to do so, and the long-term effects are going to be great, and I wouldn't want to eat any of the fish or crabs or sea creatures from that area.
Well, yeah, it's really sort of a tragic situation. Certainly, when we're already having financial difficulties, it seems like adding insult to injury. Well, our telephone number is 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. If you're out there across America, why, give us a call. We'd like to know if you have any questions at all for Chris, because he's worked on these rigs, and certainly... Now, what do you think about this ban on all future, at least a six-month ban, although I think it'll be extended indefinitely, on all deep-water drilling there in the Gulf? Do you think that this is justified?
I think it's a good idea to eventually ban all oil drilling completely around the world. I mean, that would be the long-term solution, because it's just a carcinogenic, stinking, toxic stuff that we've been using for so long. It's like tobacco. Who could actually say it is a great product when it's killed so many people? It's just marketing that's kept it going. But we have to provide the technological solutions which have not been done. The willpower has not been there of the people to change their attitudes and to really put in things like solar power, just to fill up the areas with solar power so that we can have clean energy and not breathe in and taste this disgusting stuff, which is, as I've said, carcinogenic and toxic.
Well, of course, when they've tried to put up the solar panel, large amounts in the Mojave Desert, why, the environmentalists come along and say you can't do that. They want to build more wind generators. The environmentalists said, oh, you're going to kill birds. So, I mean, it really, even if we were to go completely to solar and wind, we still couldn't generate the amount of electricity we want. Why won't they let us use nuclear energy?
Well, nuclear energy, for me, I don't think is a great idea unless it was not fission, but fusion power. And they haven't got that right. They've been working on the fusion power for about 60 years. They do it in fission-fusion bombs, but not in a controlled way. So the fission power is long-term carcinogenic, too.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Chris here at the American Freedom Network.
For the finest in home security, you want Fine Line Security, a family-owned business. They install, service, and repair any CCTV system, including DVRs. Free estimates are available. Free security evaluations, including existing systems, emergency repairs, and loaner equipment. Call Scott at 303-550-8202. They also have lease options available for CCTV security. Always professional, neat, and excellent workmanship. Home automation wireless solution for doors and driveways also available. 303-550-8202. Fine Line Security. Tax problems, IRS notices, credit card debt? Get professional help from local attorney Chelsea Victor at 303-702-0591. The Law Office of Chelsea Victor provides affordable, compassionate, and professional representation. Call today for a free initial consultation. The Law Office of Chelsea Victor, redefining legal representation one client at a time. That's 303-702-0591, 303-702-0591. Zabel Construction is a family-owned and operated business. They're able to handle the big jobs and the small ones, from additions and remodels to decks and drywall. Over 45 years of combined experience, they're reliable and trustworthy. For a free estimate, email them at zabelconstruction@hotmail.com. That's Z-A-B-E-L construction@hotmail.com, or call Mark at 303-579-5325. Licensed and insured, Zabel Construction.
July 24th in Denver, Colorado. Join two presidential candidates, former UN Ambassador Alan Keyes and Dr. Chuck Baldwin, as they weigh in on the global economic crisis in America today.
We are claiming that a bankrupt government can save a bankrupt banking system.
For more information, log on to faithandliberty2010.com. That's faithandliberty2010.com.
Well, Dr. Ken, back here, I guess this morning is Chris Landau, and do we have a caller?
Yes, you do.
Yes, who do we have?
John in Cheyenne.
Hi, John, Cheyenne, Wyoming. Well, do you have a question for our guest?
Chris, maybe a single rebar could be put on the internal side of the pipe and shoved down 5,000 feet, and a next single rebar and a next single rebar, allowing small portions to be put interior to the pipe, and then the next rebar, and however you plug it down below, maybe you can get below the rupture line, and I'll let you discuss that.
Okay, the rebar, I'm not quite sure. Please explain to me how that rebar is going to help as you put it down the well.
Well, because you got so much pressure, you can't shove a single item down inside the well, so you could put in some needle, a threaded size that lets you get past the pressure problem, and then a second small portion and a third small portion and shove each one down, and then maybe you could have an expansion at the bottom of all of your...
If the casing was secure, if the casing was okay, then the top kill situation would have worked. They would have been able to plug the well from the surface, but the reason they can't close the surface of top kill or the top situation is because the more they close it, the more the casing is destroyed and the cement is destroyed. So it's not a case of seeing that well casing as containing all the oil and gas. The oil and gas will be coming up outside of that. The more you seal or close the top, the more you're going to drive the oil and gas between the casing and the formation. So it's going to come through the sea floor next to the casing in any case. So I don't think the casing is holding all the oil and gas inside it anymore. It's already external to that. So that's why I've said this well is a write-off. They must forget about it and depressurize the zone.
Now, we've heard that basically the oil is coming up from a number of other places, so maybe a fair distance away from this well. The area has been fractured, and so the oil is coming to the surface not simply where the wellhead is, but in other regions. Is that true?
Well, we've heard that, but for the well
itself, don't know.
That is true.
Okay, our caller, do you have anything else to say? Because basically what Chris is saying is that a lot of the oil is coming up outside the casing, not through the casing.
Yeah, I just thought you might be able to get down below the rupture point. He knows more than I do.
Coming around the casing wouldn't do a bit of good even to seal the casing. Hey, thanks so much for your call. Anything else?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, once again, our number, 1-877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. If you have a question for Chris, because he certainly is on top of what's going on. He's been studying this and been writing extensively about what's there. And, of course, his suggestion, just drill a number of parallel wells and decompress, of course, this strata, decompress this oil field. Otherwise, of course, you're going to have a difficult time. And of course, what about this idea that they're talking about? They're supposedly drilling two parallel wells. Somehow they're going to intersect this 22-inch pipe down, I don't know how many miles they're going to be, but certainly almost a mile deep in the water, and then 3 or 4 miles deep down to the, and they're going to intersect this. And then what are they supposed to do when they intersect the other well?
Yeah, that is the problem, because as soon as they cut into the existing well, they've got the same situation. If they try and push drilling mud down into the bottom of the well, it will go in, but it will be lost instantaneously out through the top of the well, which they can't seal, and out through the casing and the blown-out formation of the well. So again, and there are probably, as I said, 30 to 50 horizons of ballooned out, blown out formation. So if you look at that, those words, ballooned out, means that the formation is worn away. It's got wider than the normal casing. And the reason it's got wider is because the formation was soft and they overpressurized the well while they were drilling. So the drilling mud was denser than the formation, so it's escaped into the pore space and into the fractures. And so you cannot seal this well anymore. It's a destroyed zone of rock. And it's a leaky bucket that's just going to keep on leaking. So recognize it's a leaky bucket and move on. Don't keep trying to bash your head against the wall just because you think you must solve that way. Think of a different way, and that's what I'm suggesting.
Well, is anybody else, of course, talking about putting in a parallel wells to decompress the well? Is this your ideas exclusively, or are there other experts in the field just saying, well, this is the logical thing to do?
A lot of people agree with me in my writing, but I haven't seen anybody take the whole thing up in the general news and say, hey, this is a good idea, drill more wells, not into the existing wells. Everybody's just hanging on to this idea that by August they'll have the solution. But for me, it's not going to be a solution. The only thing that will save them in this whole situation is if this is old oil and gas, and if the well runs out like the Ixtoc one did. When they sealed that one, the well continued to pump oil and gas for another 3 months, and then it stopped. So basically it stopped on its own, and I think that's what they're hoping will happen here.
But, of course, could this go on for a matter of years?
Yeah, it could go on if that is new oil being generated abiotic inorganic means. It could go on forever, and I believe that is the way that the oil and gas is being created here by the Fischer-Tropsch process of carbon dioxide combining with carbon monoxide combining with water and hydrogen sulfide to form long chain organic compounds, and also by the stringing together of metal compounds under the Wirth synthesis. Those are two ways, along with the Sabatier and the Fischer and the water gas shift reactions that I've got in my article, that will describe chemically and thermodynamically how oil and gas is being created. It could go on forever, yeah.
Well, of course, you're talking about the formation of abiotic oil. For years they've been telling us this is a breakdown product of organic matter, and of course there are many people like yourself who believe it's coming. Really, what is it, from methane? And are there any bacterial involvement in this process down in the subterranean areas that is causing the methane to take on the properties of oil?
And the methane, as you know, people look at an oxygenating environment as opposed to a reducing environment down below, and inorganic bacteria, the anaerobic bacteria.
We're out of time, Chris. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsor's fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help. Jambalaya's reminds listeners that each year many seniors are overlooked. Show how much you care this winter by offering a ride to a religious service, a trip shopping, or check and see if their heating system is up to par. Help protect our seniors and remember a senior today. That's Jambalaya's. Enjoy the specials listed on our complete menu. Open hours that are convenient, so stop by soon for a family treat. That's Jambalaya's, 109 Colorado Avenue in Marino. And mention this message for 10% off. Call ahead for large orders, 970-522-1117. Donna and staff love our elderly.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Chris Landau. We're going to have a program on Friday evening from 8 to 10 here on the Pacific Coast time, another expert on the oil, and I think it's an important issue. I think it's going to be, it's being used, however, to distract us from the collapse of our economic system, a planned collapse designed to impoverish the American people and transfer the wealth of this country to other nations. This is what it's really all about. And then, of course, the coming war with Iran, and certainly the carrier groups will be in place by the end of this month, and it'll be very interesting to see how this whole scenario plays out. Under any circumstances, I hope you're making preparations for the difficult times. Joel Skousen has three excellent books. One, the Strategic Relocation, one on the secure home, one how just to prepare for the difficult times that lie ahead. If you'd like to get those books by Joel or learn more about them, call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. To understand what is really going on in the world, you need, of course, to understand the spiritual battle that's taking place. And, of course, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, is an excellent place to get the information. We're having Jonathan Gray on our evening program on Thursday evening. And I think this is going to be very important. Those of you who don't know who Jonathan is, he is certainly one of the leading Christian archaeologists, has actually done a lot of work on the Mount Sinai. He was a good friend of Ron Wyatt's. If you don't know Ron Wyatt's work, you need to get my four-tape set on the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, and I think it's either that or called the Noah's Ark. Where is Noah's Ark? But anyway, I think it really goes into a most amazing individual, Ron Wyatt, who was an anesthesiologist who went all over the world doing archaeological work, and he found the real Mount Sinai. He found what may well be the Noah's Ark. But the most interesting is the Ark of the Covenant. And we won't tell anything about that, but I believe you get our four tape set with Ron Wyatt, and it's either Noah's Ark or the Ark of the Covenant. I'm not sure, but you need to have this information, and we're going to have Jonathan Gray, who worked with Ron Wyatt, as our guest on Thursday evening. We've got two great new videos by Alex Jones, The Invisible Empire and The Police State 4. We've got, of course, our DVD on the Trial Out to Commission by Pat Wood. We certainly have my talk by Constance Cumby on The Emergence, The Coming World Leader. That's an excellent DVD because she's talked to the people who, of course, are working to bring the Antichrist to power in the world. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and our webpage, radioliberty.com, where you can watch our videos without charge, you can read our newsletters, you can listen to our programs 9 hours a day on the satellite feed. Help us get the information out. We're involved in a spiritual battle. It's being played out on a political, ideological and cultural battle, but it is a spiritual battle. There is another dimension. There really are demonic forces moving us towards world government, and their major goal today is to destroy the United States, and they're working at the highest levels of our government and in our banks and in our great corporations and in our universities. pray for America, pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Live for our family and our protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Tax problems, IRS notices, credit card debt. Get professional help from local attorney Chelsea Victor at 303-702-0591. The Law Office of Chelsea Victor provides affordable, compassionate, and professional representation. Call today for a free initial consultation. The Law Office of Chelsea Victor, redefining legal representation one client at a time. That's 303-702-0591, 303-702-0591.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed.